You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Let's take a look at this. Credit rating agency S&P Global has upgraded its outlook for South Africa to positive from stable. The country, though, remains in junk status. In its report, the ratings agency said recent favorable terms of trade in South Africa have improved the external and fiscal trajectory, while the country's reasonable large net external asset position, flexible currency, and deep domestic capital markets provide strong buffers against shifts in external financing. What does this all mean? Let's speak now with Nikki Wema, Group Economist at Nedbank. Nikki, a very good evening to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure.
When we start with ratings agencies and our relationship with them, why is it important? Please remind us.
Well, it's important if you want to raise capital in the global markets, and when you are a savings poor country like South Africa, in order for government to finance its budget deficit, it may need to actually borrow from the rest of the world, whether it be in local denominated currency, in other words, in local currency, or in foreign denominated currency. And in order to do that, they would issue a bond. And if you want foreigners to buy, the debt you've issued, then they are going to obviously ask some questions about your ability to service your principal and to service the interest on that debt. And that is a function of many things, because you are actually financing a sovereign. And that is where global rating agencies come in. They give foreign investors some kind of indication of how safe their money is if they were to fund a sovereign country's debt.
Hmm. Let's talk at length about what led to the change in status.
The change in status? Well, it's mainly the two things they sort of highlight is that our fiscal position has improved. So the ratings outlook, which is not a change in the rating, that is an important thing to bear in mind. It's just in how they view our fiscal metrics. That has improved, and they acknowledge the fact that we've had lower budget deficits than they initially thought, and the rise in our debt burden has been less dramatic than they initially thought. So there's firstly the acknowledgement thereof. In that, they highlight two things. They highlight the resurgence in tax revenue, and they also highlight the fact that government has actually displayed during the past 2 years considerable constraint on the expenditure side. And we've had, very small increases in government expenditure. And so I think the update and the outlook for the rating really reflects partly the gains that have been made over the past 2 years and the fact that our fiscal position looks better. But ultimately, it also reflects your economic growth outlook. That's absolutely key, because you are judging a sovereign's ability to serve its principal and the interest on its debt. And, if you look at whether a sovereign is likely to be able to do that, that is purely a function of whether they will grow in the years ahead. And on that front, they highlighted that there are many, many challenges and that growth will probably remain fairly moderate, but that given that South Africa has had a favorable terms of trade, running a large trade surplus and a large current account surplus, that has provided a significant boost to the economy, and we fared better than they thought, and as a result, that's also reflected in their ratings outlook. And then they look at things like institutional capacity. They look at, certainly the depth of the financial markets, the soundness of the banking sector, the soundness of monetary policy. Mm. And on that side, Africa, honestly, whether it's Fitch, whether it's S&P, whether it's Moody's, we have always scored well on that front. So those ones, again, they assess to be positive relative to other countries, emerging market countries like South Africa, developing countries. And remember, ratings is a relative game.
Sure.
So it doesn't mean that we're looking good. It doesn't mean that we're looking fantastic. It just means that we're looking a little bit less vulnerable than some other emerging markets.
Let's take a look at some of their concerns, and you alluded to it, right? So they say structural impediments are likely to continue to weigh on medium-term growth, particularly the unreliable electricity supply, weak investment expenditure, and an inflexible labor market with heavy unionization across public and private sectors. Let's start with this electricity supply problem in the country, how to arrest that and get a handle on that.
Well, you see, that's the thing. We are benefiting at the moment from our terms of trade, which is we are predominantly a commodity exporter. Four commodities make up the bulk of our exports. And we have been very, very lucky in that sense because of the nature of the global upturn after the pandemic. And that resulted in a surge in demand for goods that consume a lot of commodities as opposed to services, and also a global supply chain that's been clogged up and struggling to operate with sporadic lockdowns all over the world. And as a result of those shortages, we have seen commodity prices shoot up through the sky. And just as we thought that was coming under some strain, of course, Russia decided to invade Ukraine. And that put further upward pressure on commodity prices and kept that resilience going. That is all very temporary. You can't count on that. And so their concerns really reflect our longer-term growth prospect. Let's put it that way, our homegrown strengths and weaknesses, and that's where they now come down, and they point out the electricity constraint. And obviously, very simply put, if you do not have a reliable and, very importantly, a cost-effective source of electricity, it's extremely difficult to grow. And that's where we are. The moment we come up to a growth rate of about 2% on a quarterly basis, very quickly you'll see we'll plunge straight into stage two, and now sure. It's even up to stage four load shedding, and it just keeps breaking the momentum. And that is why we've got such low levels of fixed investment as well. If you're going to consider expanding your operations, the first thing you look at is whether you've got energy supply or not. So there's a direct link to that. So unless we solve that, we cannot actually lift our longer-term growth prospects.
How should we understand this statement, Nikki? An inflexible labor market with heavy unionization across public and private sectors. This today, of course, we saw SAFTU holding its elective conference, that taking place over a period of 4 days and not getting off to a good start.
Yeah, I think the key thing is that in South Africa, we have a very unionized labor force. South African workers in absolute terms are not paid an extraordinary amount of money, are not out of line with what you would see in other emerging markets, although they are, similar high income emerging markets rather, because we are much higher than your middle to lower income markets. But I think the key point here being is that that does not move in line with productivity. So it actually doesn't mean, it doesn't matter what productivity does. In South Africa, wages continue to rise. Labor laws are very strict. If someone is not performing, it is exceptionally difficult to fire them. And the outcome of that inflexibility is that there is a reluctance to employ. Because if you made a mistake, you can't correct it. If someone's not performing, you can't really get rid of somebody, except if it is at extreme cost to you. And that is administration cost, the time wasted on it, and so forth and so forth. Some standard of protection is essential. But in South Africa, of course, it takes on a very emotive quality. And as a result of that, often leads to strikes. And those strikes is particularly violent and destructive. And that is quite unique to us. Hmm. When we strike, we don't just strike. We destroy things. We burn things. And that, of course, is something that is also quite unique to us, and that stands out relative to other countries. The markets are much more flexible. Labor comes and goes. And by the way, they have far lower levels of unemployment than we do.
So we've got an upgrade from stable to positive. However, we remain in junk. How do we understand that?
Well, they're just saying that our fiscal outlook is a bit better, that our economic growth outlook is a little bit better. It's not just stable, it's actually better. And they felt that they needed to reflect it. Now, normally, for the people that watch the ratings with a hawk's eye through a magnifying glass, they would say to you, from the moment where your ratings outlook is in fact upgraded to say positive, it can be anything from 12 to 24 months before, so in other words, 1 to 2 years, if you can sustain the gains you've made, and then you would be probably in a position where they would upgrade you and your actual rating to a higher level. And so we remain in junk because we are actually, if you compare us with other countries at similar ratings, we actually have lower growth rates. Our longer-term growth rate is longer, is much lower. Our levels of unemployment is much, much higher. Our labor markets are much more inflexible. And and the constraints on our growth rate is much more significant. So we actually, you know, they're not being unkind or anything. We actually, in a way, are at a generous spot if you look at those metrics. Then if you look in the fiscal side, we often look a little bit better. So it's that sort of trade-off. We look worse on growth, but a little bit better on fiscal. So we more or less at the right place, but we have to show that we can cement the gains we've made and that we can continue to build and improve the structural dynamic of the economy and lift the potential growth rate. And I think if we can do that, and if growth can slowly start ticking up, then they're not going to immediately upgrade. They're probably going to wait for, you know, a good 2 years to see if this is solid. And then there is a prospect that we could get a ratings upgrade. So this is not unusual. Many countries go through it, this process whereby the outlook is first adjusted, and then there is a period in which they actually see if we can cement the gains we've made. And then only would you get your ratings upgrade.
Nikki Wehmer is Group Economist at Nedbank. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.